So my next guest is on the line. He's having a double shift this afternoon. He's Benji Shulman, Executive Director of the Middle East Africa Research Institute. And Benji and I are going to be discussing an IOL article published on various platforms today talking about this. And this is the headline. While South Africa champions international justice to quietly open its energy sector to Israel raises concerns of dual standards, clearly written by somebody who's pretty anti-Israel. Benji Shulman, thank you so much for being with me on the Home Run.
How's it, Simon? Great to be with you.
So, Benji, this IOL article clearly comes from somebody who's pretty critical of Israel. You, on the other hand, have spent years defending Israel. For listeners who haven't read the piece, what's the core accusation that is being made about South Africa's double standards?
I mean, there isn't really an accusation, to be honest, Simon. What seems to have happened is that this group, which is connected with the Iranians, is sort of upset that an Israeli company that works in oil and gas, which is kind of interesting. You don't normally think about this as an Israeli thing, but there's a gas and oil exploration company which sort of came out of the Leviathan fields in the Eastern Mediterranean and is now looking to expand their options. And one of the things that they've done is buy some kind of an option with a Canadian firm up the West Coast in South Africa, close to the border with Namibia. Mm-hmm. And this has upset this particular group, who doesn't want to see any engagement between South Africa and Israel at all.
Okay, but let's like strip the politics out of it for a minute, although it's pretty hard to do, granted. I mean, it is a bit insane, isn't it, that the South African government is taking Israel to the ICJ and then willing to do business with them on the other hand. I mean, there just seems to be a mismatch here, doesn't there?
I mean, I think that what you're seeing is the fact that the rest of the country just really isn't on board with the government's position here, right? So the kind of famous example that's, if you see it in the article, if you go all the way down, which has really upset these guys, is that Colombia, the Colombian government was a radically communist government, and it banned all of its coal exports to Israel. And then South Africa's coal exports to Israel promptly tripled. Basically, we just took up the slack. And so all of the, and what's interesting is that the coal companies in South Africa are all sort of BEE related. So you have all these businessmen who are all highly connected to the ANC. And then the Israelis went to them and said, we need South African coal. They said, fine. And that's like what it shows, is that the government is just not, doesn't really have the support of South Africans for this. And particularly in commercial things where people sort of look at what the government says and sort of, okay, well, if you say so, but bread and butter issues are more important at home.
Benji, it's really interesting because I actually see it through the other end of the coin. I kind of think if I was an Israeli shareholder, seeing my company wanting to spend huge amounts of money in a country that is, let's face it, taking me to the ICJ or my country to the ICJ, I would think, what are you doing? What are you doing getting into a business relationship with a country that clearly has no interest in furthering the relationship between us? And I'm thinking about also a company like Parmalat. I think that was the one that had the Israeli connection, wasn't it? And then the EFF took outside...
Clover.
Thank you for the correction. Knew it was one of the dairy ones, wasn't sure which. And I just thought, as an Israeli shareholder, I would have thought this was just so utterly foreseeable what was going to happen in South Africa.
You know, I think Israelis are used to this to some extent, right? I mean, it's obviously can be quite a big deal in South Africa. But even from the 50s and the 60s, there were boycotts against Israeli companies, and they've learned over time how to deal with these sorts of things. So whilst they, whilst I'm sure it's a consideration at a business level, you sort of look at this and you say, all right, well, can we make a profit? And the answer is yes. And are the local people who we're dealing with prepared to work with us? So the answer is yes. So then, okay, well, then we go ahead. Like, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, most people don't care about the religion or the color of your money, as long as it's green.
Well, that's actually interesting because he actually, misheard and jumped to a conclusion I wanted to arrive at. Green, I heard the word green, and I didn't think money as you would, I thought green as in green climate and all that. And it's interesting because the author ties this to this just energy transition. He says offshore fossil exploration contradicts South Africa's climate commitments. And then one kind of has to wonder, Benji, is this environmental argument being used as political proxy for an anti-Israel sentiment? Kind of strikes me that it is. But what are your thoughts?
So what you've seen in the last while, not so much in South Africa, it's actually the first time that we've really seen it, but you see it quite often in Britain, is that you have the Islamists, who basically this person who wrote the article represents, getting together with the, you can't even call them the environmental lobby, but basically like the Green Party in the UK, and they found that actually working together, even though they have exactly zero in common, they have all the right enemies. And so there's, in the UK in particular, you've seen the Green Party getting a lot of votes from Islamist parts of the country. And I said, this is a sort of local version of that, where if you go and look at this group that he's referencing, it's interesting. It has no public directors. There's no proper activists. But the issue of oil and gas has been something that has been on the agenda in South Africa for a while. There's issues around fracking in the Karoo, and there's issues around exploration over our coasts in general. That's a sort of environmental economic issue, which has nothing to do with sort of strict geopolitics. And what you find is you've got this Islamist writer who now says, oh, okay, here we can try and get an ally for the coalition to get involved. The same thing happened with the coal. They went to the minister, who's an ANC minister, and said, well, you know, this is a green energy issue, and we should stop exporting coal to Israel because of green energy. So the environmental debate is sort of being used to advance a geopolitical agenda.
Benji, the article also suggests that the government is being, in inverted commas, quiet about this deal. From your vantage point, is that what you would have expected? Is this just the normal bureaucratic process being spun into a political narrative? Where are you on the fact that the government is being so quiet about this?
But we don't know yet actually what the government's viewpoint is. Part of the reason why you're starting to get these articles in the media is because there is a kind of regulatory process. So basically the Israelis signed off with the Canadian company who owned the assets.
Yes.
And now that's subject to some sort of regulatory approval from the petroleum energy regulator in South Africa. And I'm assuming that what's going on here is to try and build a public case against this particular deal and kill the regulatory framework. What's interesting is the minister is Parks Tau. He's from the ANC. And the EFF pulled him up in Parliament the other day and said, well, are you intending to boycott coal sales to Israel? Are you going to do what the Colombians did and ban this? He said no. So yes. if Parks Tau is following this, I wonder whether Gwede Mantashe, who is like old King Coal and drill baby drill of South Africa, is really going to think that this is to his interest as well.
Do you think Bozell is having, that's the American ambassador, do you think he's having any kind of an effect on these particular issues in behind-the-scenes conversations?
I mean, Bozell's interest is not really oil and gas. The Americans have some interest here, but they're interested more in critical minerals. You must remember that the Americans are self-sufficient when it comes to oil and gas. That's why they're not so worried about the Iranian issue, as everybody else is having the problem. So their issue is more mining and general geopolitical questions about how is South Africa behaving. But I think that if South Africa was to block this on the basis that it was an Israeli company, then Bozell might use that as a stick to smack over the heads of the South African government. But in this particular interest, I don't think that the Americans have any, they're not playing in this particular yacht.
I want to read you a comment sent through by Roland and hear what your response is to this. He says, so what does all this tell us? The ANC is easy, he says. Anyone can buy it. The Iranians bought them to take Israel to the ICC, and now they're quite happy to take money off Israel directly. Selling oneself is the second oldest trade in history, as they say. Probably not fair to put that to you, but I'm going to anyway.
Well, there's no transaction here that has anything to do with the state, right? These are commercial oil fields, or gas fields, rather, where companies that are multinational in nature are buying things, and it happened, or like parts of it, and it happens to be Israeli. So what would the only thing that would happen, really, the only way in which the state operates, is that they would tax these companies for extracting the use. But there's no party political thing. And by the way, it's not actually unusual for this company in particular to cause these sorts of geopolitical tensions. So, for example, in Argentina, there was a problem because there was, again, one of these selling off of a patch of oil, and this company got involved. And you know, Argentina and the UK have a big fight over the Falkland Islands, sure, in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And the Argentinians have a good relationship with Israel at the moment. And this actually started getting in the way of that. And the Argentinians were delaying their embassy to Jerusalem. And Milei was getting annoyed and all sorts of things. And it just happened to be that this company was doing what oil and gas companies do, which is go and try and find oil and gas to take out of the sea. So I don't think, you know, it's not quite as conspiratorial as I think people would like to make it out to be, just because it's oil and gas.
Benji, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. Thanks for making us a lot smarter now than we were 5 minutes ago. We'll watch this with great interest. I just find it remarkable that an Israeli company still has the interest to have this kind of economic involvement in South Africa, given the current climate. But that's a whole other issue. Benji Shulman, thank you so very much.